It is your favorite show of the week and mine, Twitter Tuesday. What about Tennessee in the final two games of the season? The emergence of Cedric Tillman here of late? And what about recruiting now and in the future? Can Josh Heupel keep up? We'll talk about it all here today on a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Vols. It's your team every single day, available 5 days a week, completely free on every single platform except YouTube. I continue to push that sucker off, but it is coming. I promise by the end of the year, YouTube will be available for this podcast. I am your host, Eric Kane, at Locked On Vols on Twitter, and you can follow my personal Twitter, at _Kaner, a radio personality at 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville, and a writer for the Rival site covering Tennessee, that is VolQuest.com. We have three segments full of Twitter Tuesday, a great turnout as was last week, and we got it again this week, so I can't thank you guys enough. Really, really appreciate you guys engaging with me in this show. This is your episode every single week. Whatever you want to say, I'm going to read it here and let your voice be heard. Before we get into the Twitter Tuesday questions, I do want to remind you guys, I'm sure you've seen it by now, but kickoff time for Tennessee and Vanderbilt next Saturday, November 27th. That is going to be a 3:45 kick on the SEC Network. And Tennessee's Kennedy Chandler has been named the SEC Freshman of the Week for his efforts in his first two games of the season for Tennessee, averaging about 18 points. And I'll tell you what, man, he's a stud. And I think that we all need to get out to Thompson Bowling Arena at least once, if not more, to watch him play, because I got news for you. He is not going to be here next year. That is for sure. So congrats to Kennedy Chandler and Tennessee basketball on the fast start. A big matchup against Villanova on the horizon this weekend. All right, let's go ahead and get into it. Twitter Tuesday, we'll start off with Matthew. And again, you have different avenues of getting the questions to me. Of course, you can DM me directly at _Kaner or at Locked On Vols. You can reply to this. You can reply to the tweet that I put out. You can tweet me, or you can go to my Facebook page at Kaner on Air. And we had a little bit of all of that action this week, so I can't thank you enough. We'll start off with Matthew. Why do fans care about the opinions opposing teams have in Neyland? Shouldn't we want the fans and teams to have the worst time possible instead of it being cordial? Well, I think it's a little bit of both, right? I mean, remember back in 2019 when we talked about how the BYU fans were awesome and they were kind and they were cool, they were fun to tailgate with. I mean, you want that experience, right, for opposing fan bases on the road. But, I mean, I'll say this. I mean, during the game, you want it to be loud. You want it to be disgusting. You want it to be a true home field advantage. I mean, I don't think – I mean, I know the guy that wrote this question in there. He's one of my friends, so he and I are very different. You know, I'm not openly rude to anybody like he is sometimes at sporting events, but that's just kind of part of what it's all about. I don't know. I mean, you want everyone to have a good experience at Neyland Stadium, but you want them to leave. And in my opinion, you want them to leave knowing, gosh, I don't want to play here again. Man, I don't want this team to come up here again because it is loud. The pre-snap penalties. It doesn't matter what the score is. They're going to continue to bring it all night long. The pregame, you know, stuff with the ball walk, running through the tee spotlight, all that type of stuff. That's the type of stuff that you should want opposing fan bases, in my opinion, leaving Neyland Stadium saying, man, I wish our home stadium was like this. I wish our home stadium did stuff like this. That's more or less kind of what I think about that. We'll go on to Corbin. Corbin says, how well will the Vols recruit this offseason? How well do we need to recruit to compete with the likes of Georgia and Bama, top 15, top 10, or top 5? Well, in short answer, to compete with the likes of Georgia and Alabama, you need to be top 5. And it's funny because top 5 nationally is also top 5 in the SEC, right? The SEC dominates recruiting typically. And so you've got pretty much all 14 teams filing somewhere in the top 35, the majority inside the top 20, and many, many rounding out inside the top 10. Remember that, I guess it was 2019 maybe, with Jeremy Pruitt. Tennessee finished, I want to say, 9th in the country in recruiting, had a top 10 recruiting class, but it was 7th in the SEC. It's like, okay, this is good, but how much ground are you making up, right? So you need to be top 5 in order to be competing with the likes of Georgia and Alabama. Now, how well is Tennessee going to be recruiting this offseason? it's not just this offseason, man. It's year-round, right? You're always DMing. You're always calling. You're always FaceTiming. You're always Zooming whenever it's allowed. Now, I know this is kind of funny because Tennessee, it's coming off some recruiting sanctions and, you know, all that type of stuff with the self-imposed – or the non-self-imposement, but with the internal investigation and firing Jeremy Pruitt and all that. I know, make the jokes, McDonald's bags. But you're recruiting all the time when it is allowed. Now, this coaching staff is well behind for the class of 2022. Just kind of the nature of the beast, right? I mean, you came in, Heupel was hired in January. His staff didn't get finalized until February. It's hard to establish those relationships in 2022, but they're recruiting hard all the time. I think the classes of 2023, 24, and 25 will be much better than what this class of 2022 will end up being. But we will have to see kind of how that goes. All right, we'll go on to the DM sector, and Eric chimes in. What are UT's realistic chances with flipping the West Virginia running back commits and Tolan from LSU? If you had to say today, which one is more likely? That's a good question, and I meant to bring this up in the question before. Here are some guys for the class of 2022 that Tennessee is really, really high on right now, and most of these guys were on campus this past weekend. Keontae Scott, who's a cornerback from a junior college. Justin Williams, who's a running back commit from for West Virginia, and that's who Eric is referring to here. The other one he's referring to is Demario Tolan, a linebacker commit for LSU. James Pierce, defensive end. Joshua Joseph, defensive end. Marquise Gilbert, a safety from JUCO. And Jeffrey Mba, a defensive lineman from JUCO. You kind of got a theme here, right? Tennessee's attacking junior college hard right now to try to find some guys who can play immediately and help out this roster. But as far as the two that you mentioned, Eric, Justin Williams and Demario Tolan, both of these guys, I think Tennessee's in really good shape with, right? I'm not saying that Tennessee's going to sign both of them. I'm not saying that they're going to flip to the Volunteers. But Demario Tolan's a guy that took an official visit here back in the summer. He really liked it. He went ahead and committed to LSU. Justin Williams is a guy that Tennessee has jumped in on late. He's a bigger back. He's a guy that, I mean, Tennessee wants a bigger running back, and he's a guy that has really, really fallen in love with kind of Tennessee here of late. So if I had to say who might be closer to flipping, I don't know. I mean, if I had to, I think they're about even, to tell you the truth, and I'm not saying both will sign, but if I had to pick one, I guess I'd say probably Demario Tolan, because, again, he's been here. He's done that. He's seen a whole lot about Tennessee, and he reached out and inquired about, hey, is there still a spot left because of everything going on at LSU? But needless to say, those would be two big additions to this class. Justin Williams, running back commit of West Virginia, and Demario Tolan, linebacker commit of LSU, if Heupel was able to flip those two guys. We've got one more here for segment number one, and then we will hit some more in segments two and three. We'll go to Kyle. I know the season isn't over, but how about some off-season speculation talk? Will any of the following teams have a different head coach next season? Florida, Kentucky, Texas A&M, Ole Miss. Does Mullen get fired? Does Stoops look for a different job? Are Jimbo and Lane fighting over the LSU job? Man, those are some good questions, right? The whole Mullen situation, I mean, goodness gracious, right? Like, it is falling apart in a hurry. But they did win over Samford 72-50, gave up 50 points to Samford. I understand that that is not great. Let's see how Florida competes against Missouri, which I think can beat Florida right now. I'm not saying it will, but Missouri certainly is capable of beating Florida right now, as is Florida State. If Dan Mullen loses one of those two games, if he loses two, he's gone, in my opinion. If he loses one of those two games, I don't know. If you're a Tennessee fan, here's the greater question. Do you want Dan Mullen to survive this, or do you want him to fire, or do you want him to be fired and Florida go out and find potentially somebody better? I think Dan Mullen is a good coach. I think he is a weird SOB. Okay, I mean, I think he's one of the weirdest people alive, but I think he is a good coach in terms of coaching quarterbacks and coaching offenses. However, you can't really tell it from the video of them dancing in the locker room afterwards, but he has lost that team. He's lost that football team. You don't get smacked by South Carolina the way you get smacked. You don't allow 50 points to Samford the way that they did if you haven't lost that football team. So, I don't know. Dan Mullen's interesting. Kentucky, Mark Stoops, we always talk about it. Every single year, Mark Stoops, can you go and take another job? And he simply just hasn't, right? I'll believe it when I see it from Mark Stoops. I think he's a good coach. You guys know that about me. But I will believe it when I see it if he eventually leaves. Texas A&M and Jimbo, I don't know, man. He's getting paid, what, $8.5 million? think he's pretty fine there, even if he doesn't leave. And Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, are you going to leave to take LSU? Are you going to be fighting Jimbo Fisher for LSU? Lane, you know, you love Ole Miss, right? Are you really going to leave just 2 years in? I don't know. It'll be interesting, but nothing's like a coaching carousel in college football, especially in the SEC. Kyle, I appreciate your questions there. All right, more to come in segments 2 and 3. But first, guys, I want to present a new sponsor for this podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network overall. It is NetSuite. All right, this is it. It's the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on the backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. All right, NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth with visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and a whole lot more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite, and right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. All right? Head on over to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end-of-the-year financing on number one financial system for growing businesses. That's netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. And Prize Picks. Have you heard about Prize Picks yet? If not, you need to. It's daily fantasy made easy. I love it, and I know you will as well. Prize Picks is the leader in college sports daily fantasy. It offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers the star players of the Power 5 as well as the mid-majors. Prize Picks offers any prop you can possibly think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. And everybody on their first deposit, if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. You pick the 2 to 5 players, the over and under, the projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries as well. You can go NBA, NHL, college football, whatever the case may be. You can do it all on the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks, it's safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON or go to the App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks, it's daily fantasy made easy. Segment number 2 of a Twitter Tuesday edition, Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane, @_Kaner and @LockedOnVols. We will jump right into it. Again, thanks for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Hole in the roof. What are the odds Ramel Keaton could experience a similar trajectory as Cedric Tillman? Maybe not to the same extent as Tillman, but he has become, because that is rare, but Keaton is a kid whose usage to date is not dissimilar to Tillman's. I like to see Keaton get more playing time these final 2 weeks in hopes he can build off this moving into next season. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good thought process. Really, I think the next 2 weeks is the chance to see a lot of young guys, right? I mean, you can never just assume you're going to get a win because that just doesn't work, but it's South Alabama and it's Vanderbilt, okay? And we'll break down all the numbers. I put my preview up of South Alabama at volquest.com yesterday, diving into the numbers, the personnel and all that. We'll talk about that this week, but Tennessee should win convincingly in both of these games, right? And so, and because of injury concerns as well, who knows if Javonte Payton's going to play the rest of the year? Who knows if Tyon Evans is going to play the rest of the year? Who knows if Aaron Beasley's going to come back? You know, he trotted off, looked like he had an ankle injury the other night. You know, guys like Aaron Willis at linebacker, guys like Ramel Keaton at wide receiver, guys like Jalen Hyatt should be getting more run. Could they move Velus out of the slot and put Jalen Hyatt in the slot for the final 2 games of the season? I don't know. We'll see. Those are some of the things I'm looking for. But as far as linebackers concerned, too, like Aaron Willis, he needs to be getting a lot of run, in my opinion, these last 2 games. But, you know, for Ramel Keaton, he's a guy that's been here a long time, just like Cedric Tillman, as you pointed out, has not played a big role whatsoever. I thought he came in and he played admirably the other night in place of Javonte Payton, had about 60 yards receiving almost, caught 5 to 6 balls. You know, he needs to tighten up on some things. You know, he admitted on Monday that he was watching the ball too much on that long throw that was a disconnect for Hooker and Keaton there. So I was happy for him. I thought that was awesome. And you know, potentially you're gonna see Javonte Payton leave. You're gonna see Velus Jones leave. There are going to be opportunities at wide receiver. next season, and maybe Ramel Keaton can be one of those guys that fills in the gap and plays a lot of snaps. We'll have to see, but I do see the resemblance there in Tillman and Ramel Keaton, and we'll have to see what comes of this for Ramel Keaton moving forward. We'll go to Avery. How concerned should we be that we are currently 12th in the SEC in recruiting for football? Where do you project we end up after National Signing Day? Yeah, it's a good question. And again, I touch base. There's a lot of recruiting questions here today, and I love that. You know, Tennessee is behind the eight ball in the class of 2022, and it's just part of it, okay? As I mentioned, Josh Heupel came in. He was hired in January. His staff wasn't finalized until sometime in February. You are so far behind the eight ball in getting relationships built for the class of 2022. Yes, some of the players at this staff, the offensive staff was recruiting at UCF. They have also recruited at Tennessee, but not a lot of them, okay? You know, the quality of player is different from the group of five to the power five in the SEC. And so you had to start building this relationships with these players, and it takes time. I mean, you know, this staff right now is already talking to 2025s, 2024s, and of course 2023s, and so that's going to be years and years and years of keeping tabs and calling and checking up and FaceTiming and all that. So are there guys that should be in this class that are not? Absolutely. I'm not dismissing all that to this staff. They've got to show me that they can recruit. Right now, it's not there. Although, as we mentioned earlier, there's some key guys that could flip. There's some guys that are still very much available. They could jump in the boat. And I think that you could see this class jump up a few spots. I'm projecting this class to finish anywhere from 20 to 25. And that's not acceptable at Tennessee. You'll give it a pass for the class of 2022. But moving forward, that should not be the norm at Tennessee. But that's what I am projecting. And we'll have to see if it finishes out there. All right, we'll move on. Kurt and Braden both have questions about bowl games. What is your dream matchup for our bowl game in the event that we win out and finish 7-5? Okay, so I've had some fun with this one. I jotted some down. You've seen over the last couple of days Tennessee projected in this bowl and that bowl with this competition and that team and all that. Here are some ones that I've seen. For the Duke's Mayo Bowl, I've seen Tennessee squaring off against North Carolina, Virginia Tech, and Wake Forest. Of course, Tennessee against some ACC teams. For the Music City Bowl, I have seen Tennessee projected to score off against Wisconsin, Big Ten. For the Liberty Bowl, I've seen Tennessee projected to score off against West Virginia, just like what was going to happen last year at one point in time, right? And then in the Houston Bowl, which is a bowl game I don't know if Tennessee's ever played in. I to be completely honest with you, Tennessee would square off against Kansas State. So for me in the media, who's going to travel to this bowl game, I do not want to go to Memphis. I'd be fine with going to Charlotte because I like Charlotte. Tennessee was in the Gator Bowl last year. None of these were the Gator Bowls that I mentioned. But, I mean, if Tennessee can get down to Florida, they want to take Tennessee because the Tennessee fan base would travel. I don't think Tennessee will get an Outback Bowl bid because that's an SEC bowl game, and there's going to be teams with a better record overall. I would love to go to Houston, okay, just to travel and go see a new stadium. That's at the Houston Texans Stadium, so I would love to see that. But nothing gets me jacked up about Tennessee and Kansas State. So I would say Tennessee, North Carolina, and the Duke's Mayo would be a whole lot of fun. I think it's a bad matchup, Tennessee against Wisconsin, because they go 13-14 personnel with a lot of tight ends and fullbacks and just ram it down your throat. And Tennessee struggles in, you know, stopping the run here of late. So I like Tennessee, North Carolina. Oh, did I mention Wake Forest, Tennessee? A lot of people are getting juiced about that. You know, Wake Forest is nothing is sexy about that for me. So for me, it would be Carolina, Tennessee, Duke's Mayo, or Tennessee, Virginia Tech. A little Hendon Hooker storyline there for the Duke's Mayo Bowl as well. We'll get one more. Andrew chimed in on Twitter Tuesday right after the final buzzer on Saturday, and Andrew wants to know, it's glaringly obvious that the talent gap is extremely wide, but I do feel like we are closer to being relevant in the SEC than they have been in a few years. I think this staff might be the one to get us where we want to be. Thoughts? Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to diss this staff whatsoever. I mean, it's tough. It really, really is tough. Tennessee did some things against Georgia in the first quarter. Tennessee did some things against Florida in the first half. Tennessee did some things against Alabama all the way up until like the last 8 or 9 minutes of the game. Tennessee's yet to play a four-quarter football game against any of the big three. And this is something I pounded on over the offseason. I talked about on this podcast many, many times. It's, okay, you're 8-4. Fantastic. What are you against the big three? That's really not the conversation for this year because the cards were so stacked against you. You had roster turnover. You had all the movement in the offseason. And you know, no depth at linebacker, offensive line. I mean, you know, the, I don't want to say excuses, but the reasons go on and on and on. So I'm not saying that for this year, but I see what you're saying there. I just, you know, we'll have to see. I think Heupel's done a lot of good things. I think he is a great play caller. I think he scheming things up. I think he's been fantastic. I think he's a player's coach. I think the players love playing for him. I think he's assembled a good staff. How do you compete against the big three next year? I want to know. How do you recruit? Not necessarily 2022, but 2023 and 2024, because again, that's the name of the game. Kirby Smart said, hey, you can't outcoach talent, right? Well, Tennessee needs to get some more talent in its program. So, we'll still see. The jury's still out for me, but I do like a lot of what Josh Heupel is doing, and I think he should be, noticed for the job that he's done in Tennessee for this year. Again, you're going to finish with 7 wins in the regular season. You're going to go to a bowl game. I mean, if we talked about this back in January, February, I mean, you say that's a pipe dream, right? So Josh Heupel's done a lot of good things, I must say, but we'll see exactly how competitive you can be against Florida, Georgia, Alabama next year because you need to be competitive for four quarters of football. We have one more segment left here of a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. We'll get to it on the other side after this, but before we get there, back and better than ever, a new web interface to start the basketball season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head on over to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today, and you can receive a 50% bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. We've got one more segment to go here on Twitter Tuesday. Can't thank you guys enough for getting me in your questions and your comments, your thoughts, your concerns. Every Tuesday on Locked On Vols, we do Twitter Tuesday. It's where you take over the show, and we had another great week of getting those in. So thank you so much. I'm Eric Kane, your host of Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. We've got a couple more, and then we are going to call it quits here for today. All right, we're going to go to Bruce on the Loose. He says, all right, tough question. If we look at our current roster and our recruiting results from the past 5 years, where would we rank overall in the SEC and then in the SEC East? Take into account for UT all of the people that we have lost to the transfer portal, taking those people out and adjusting the rankings. Okay, dude, no clue. I mean, I'm sorry. That is a lot of research that, quite frankly, I'm going to have to set aside some time and dive into that one. In terms of the roster, in terms of recruiting rankings over the past 5 seasons, you know, Tennessee's been towards the back of the pack in the SEC, anywhere from 8th until like 11th on average. In the SEC East, it's been anywhere from 3 to 5 on average. Now, you know, the last 2 years of Jeremy Pruitt, you were up there a little bit more and, you know, finishing probably behind Florida and Georgia in the SEC East. But remember, in the West, Alabama was finishing ahead of Tennessee. Texas A&M was. LSU was. At times, Auburn was. Am I missing somebody else over there? Those are the big ones, right? So, you know, that's where it's kind of been anywhere the last, you know, 3 to 5 years. It's been kind of in the back of the pack. But in the SEC East, it's been anywhere kind of from 3rd to 5th, more 3-4 range than 5, in my opinion. If I take out all the roster turnover, especially from this past season, and to take that into account, man, I have no clue. I mean, I really, really, really have no clue in terms of that. That is, I mean, you're talking about, you know, 30 guys that left the roster this offseason. You're talking about players that left the roster in 2020 and 2019, not to this extent, but We'll have to, I'll tell you what, I will set aside some time and I'll dive into that, but that's something I can't answer fully right now. Sorry about that, Bruce. We'll move on. We'll go to TJ, and TJ dived into the Caner on Air Facebook page. On today's episode, you were talking about Hooker's overthrows. I've heard that he's had a problem throwing in the cold at Virginia Tech. I noticed a few wild throws in the Kentucky game and obviously more in the Georgia game. Is this true and possibly a contributing factor? In my opinion, TJ, I think that's a bunch of BS. Not from you, just from the people that are saying that. And I know there have been some publications that have been out there saying, uh-oh, watch out for the cold, Hendon Hooker. If you want any more proof to know why I think that's BS, look at Hendon Hooker's stat line against Kentucky last week. I was in Lexington. It was chilly. I mean, it wasn't frigid, but it was chilly, okay? What was he, 15 of 20? Was he passed for, what, 312, I believe? Four total touchdowns? Hey, he balled out. He was SEC Player of the Week, right? So, no, I don't buy into that whatsoever. Saturday, it wasn't, I mean, you know, it was a chill in the air. It wasn't frigid, but it wasn't your normal hot, you know, East Tennessee day in September or August. I just feel like he just had balls sail on him. And I do believe that at times at Virginia Tech, there were other factors that contributed at times to his poor play. I mean, he went through a health issue there for a little bit of Virginia Tech prior to coming to Tennessee. I'm not saying that was the only factor in terms of his poor play at times, but being able to throw in the cold, I'm not buying that whatsoever. I didn't buy it when I heard it going into the Kentucky game. I'm not buying it now. And again, the way he balled out at Kentucky, I mean, there's no use in believing in that, in my opinion. So that's how I answer that, TJ. But I do appreciate you bringing that up because there have been a lot of people that have been saying that. So you are certainly not wrong. And then finally, we will go into Trevor. Depth has been a big issue this year, especially late in games. Being as short as we are, how much can we expect that will improve in one offseason? Should we expect to be thin again next year as well, or do you see that as a non-issue? Yeah, good question, Trevor. No, I think Tennessee's going to be thin again next year. Will it be as bad as this season? You hope not, right? I mean, you hope that you have more than a three-man rotation at linebacker. You hope that you have more quality depth at the offensive line to where you're not struggling just to find guys to put out there. You hope that you have depth at safety to where when Jalen McCullough and Trayvon Flowers continue to just not impress and continue to be out of place and miss tackles and slow over to coverages, that you have guys that are in position to go out there and play. You know, Christian Charles was that guy, but he got hurt in Missouri, okay? And so I think you would have seen a whole lot more of Christian Charles playing safety this year if he was healthy. But Tamari McDonald apparently is not ready to go, right? I mean, we saw him at Kentucky, or no, not Kentucky, at Missouri as well, but haven't seen him play hardly at all. You're seeing more corners play and Haddon. You're seeing Turnage play a little bit more of the star and Danico Slaughter play a little bit more of the star, but you're not seeing a lot of safeties, okay? So in one offseason, I mean, it'll improve a little bit. You're going to bring in a full recruiting class, okay? Remember last year's recruiting class, you had five that were let out of their national letters of intent after signing with Tennessee because of the hangup with Jeremy Pruitt and the firing and all that. You're going to bring in players that can help with depth and all that. You will attack the transfer portal and this new rule that's allowing teams that have been decimated by the losses in the transfer portal to go and sign up to seven more guys via the transfer portal on top of your 25, you know, incoming high schoolers. That can help Tennessee as well. And so we'll have to see exactly how this roster looks next year. But I think from a numbers perspective, it'll look better. From a quality of depth perspective, it'll look better. Plus, all these young guys right now that aren't playing, they're still repping and getting better. They should be better this time next year than they are now. But overall, it's still not where you want it to be. It'll take a couple of years, in my opinion. Jeremy Pruitt finally got the roster to where he wanted it to be in the 2020 season. Because I remember all back in 2018, his first season, he's saying, we don't have the numbers, we don't have the numbers, we're thin here, we're thin here. And then finally in the 2020 season, in one of his press conferences, he said, hey, we're just now to the point to where I feel good about numbers-wise and position-wise and all that. So it will improve in 2022, but I don't think it'll be a job completed, if that makes sense. But I mean, goodness gracious, it's tough to be as thin as you are at tight end, at linebacker, at safety, and at offensive line, at offensive tackle more so than anything, more than you already are right now. So anything compared to what Tennessee is right now is going to be better. And again, I think that's, you commend Josh Heupel, Rodney Garner, Brian Jean-Marie, all those coaches for getting everything they've got out of this team, especially defensively at times this year. Just considering the situation that they've been in. All right, that's going to do it for a Twitter Tuesday. Thank you so much for tuning in. A great turnout, as always, for a Twitter Tuesday. We're going to be back for more on a Wednesday show. We're going to have a couple of interviews this week that I know you guys are going to be excited about. We will have a Tennessee football player on the podcast tomorrow in Grant Furking promoting his walk-on night at Walk-Ons in Knoxville. We'll talk about that. Plus, we will discuss a little bit of his thoughts on this football season under Josh Heupel. We'll catch up with a couple more guests throughout the week, and we will preview Tennessee and South Alabama as the week goes on. Plus, Josh Ward coming up on tomorrow's show as well. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Can't thank you enough. We will do it again tomorrow, guys, here on Locked On Vols at _Caner and at Locked On Vols. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody.